Item number two, subdivision and rezoning south side of Ravelston Avenue West, west of Pegwa Street. I'll introduce to the room now senior planner John Winthrop. Just give us a second while they set up, I guess. Is Frank Fiorentino in the room?
Yes.
You didn't specify on here if you are in support, in opposition, or for information.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll speak louder.
The question is, am I in favor or opposed?
Or for information.
I want to hear what the presentation is. I don't know yet. I came here with a clean mind.
Okay.
A fair mind, but there's no way that I know until I hear your presentation.
I will put this aside then, sir. You can indicate at the end of the people presenting in support, you'll have the opportunity of saying that at that point that you're in support. However, you will not at any later point be able to do so. Okay. You want to introduce the item? Are you guys ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry? Okay, the applicant for item number two, south side of Ravelston Avenue West, west of Pegwa Street, Susan Russell and Norm Boyle.
Do we need to give addresses and that kind of thing again?
Go for it.
We're good? Okay. So, thank you.
State your name and address for the record.
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Susan Russell, McGowan Russell, 200 124th Street.
Norm Boyle from 685 Bonner, representing North Brassy Properties.
Go ahead.
Okay. Based on the comments received at the last hearing, our client would like to propose changes to the plan as illustrated on the proposed plan of subdivision that we've got here. What we've brought for everybody's information is the old plan, which is here, as well as the new plan. And I just wanted to run through some of the changes that are being proposed for consideration. First set of changes, I'll do it this way and then I'll do it that way, is we're looking at a change in the alignment of the main entrance road to create a partial loop road for transit access. This change, this proposed change, results in changes to the lot configurations, and I'll run through those in a second. What happens with this at the last hearing, so we heard that at the last hearing, there was some concern, tremendous concern with regards to the multifamily in this area here, the multifamily large.
So our client is proposing to change that to RMFS for consideration by the committee. So that would be small, the lower level multifamily in here. This previously was RMFL as well. He is proposing for consideration by the committee to change this to RMFM. And the other consideration is that with the change in the configuration of the roadway, there's a loss of four lots, single family lots, in this area in here. What this consideration does is what we're also proposing for consideration with these changes, we are now increasing the park area by almost half an acre. So you'll see that change in here and a small portion in there. So those are the basic changes to the plan. So just to recap, RMFS from RMFL, so a change in density down to the lowest density possible for a multifamily. A loss in acreage, again with the road change of about 0.09 of an acre. RMFM, loss in density from RMFL, change in acreage by about 0.35 of an acre, so we're losing 0.35 of an acre there. And then a change in the lots configuration here to increase the park area. Again, what we heard last hearing, and we're losing four lots by doing that. And then change in the configuration to make this development more transit friendly. So those are the basic changes to the plan that we're proposing for consideration. All of the other elements in the plan remain unchanged. So there's the one RMFL on Pegua Street and the RMFM on the main roadway to the south. That's staying as it was in the original plan. And then the balance of the single family lots remain unchanged. So any concerns, questions, dialogue on the proposed plan changes? And then I want to run through, is it okay to do it that way? And then I want to run through some of the ACG report.
We'll keep presenting or?
Okay, and then we ask all questions at the very end?
We'll ask questions when we're ready to ask questions.
Sounds good. All right, so then with regards to the actual ACG report, if we go through it from the Winnipeg Public Service recommendations, the item two obviously will change based if the committee likes the plan as shown, then that whole description there of what we're trying to do will be amended and changed. Under item 2A2, this we had brought up in the last hearing, was with regards to the setback from Pegua Street. The existing lots along Pegua Street are 32.3 meters long, so a 15-meter rear yard setback requirement is onerous on lots of that size. And so we're asking for that to be relaxed to 7.62 meters instead, half that amount. Similar to a precedence that was set on Pandora. I don't know if Pandora was 7.62, but that's what we're looking for in this particular case. With regards to the administrative report under natural lands, there's a sentence in that, and that's page 18. There's a sentence in there that talks about that the park space, they're saying that some high-quality aspen is located within the PR1 park space, but it actually isn't. It's located in the pond, and the pond is set, so that would be a difficult one. We might be able to keep some of the high-quality aspen along the perimeter of the pond, between the pond and the roadway. That's about all that we can say. They thought that the high-quality aspen was located here, but it isn't. When you actually plot it, it's located right here. So that sentence should be deleted. We're respectfully asking for that to be deleted. So that's under Appendix A. I don't know if it's Appendix A. Under the administrative report, natural lands, page 18. The other items are under Schedule B, Section A. Again, this refers back to this is a new item under the frontage road. Hold on. Let me just make sure I've got the right one.
Which item are you referring to?
I'm just looking. Schedule B, Clause A5. About the frontage roads. The frontage roads are difficult on a number of accounts. We've got only 4 lots in the new plan. The old plan had 11 lots along here, so likely more in that respect. But in the new plan, we've only got 4 lots fronting on Vandergraaf Drive, the main drive here. And now if this becomes a main drive, we've got 2 up here as well. A frontage road would be difficult in that kind of a situation. Also, with all the other costs related to this development, being a smaller development with very large and far-reaching beyond the parameters of this particular development requirements in terms of infrastructure improvements, it just adds to that for the developer, and so we respectfully request that that requirement be deleted. And that also applies to Schedule B, Clause 11, again related to the frontage road, and Schedule B, Clause 25, related to the frontage road. They're all related to the frontage road. The item with regards to the 50-meter PEGWA setback, there's a somewhat related item under, again, Section A of Schedule B, Item 2, where PEGWA Street right-of-way is asking for an additional land for future widening, which is fine, of 2.134 meters, but you add that on to the 15-meter requirement for setback. All of a sudden, we're losing 17 meters on a 32-meter-long lot. It becomes an issue there. Not saying that we don't want to do this, but it just reiterates the need to reduce that 15-meter setback requirement under Winnipeg Public Service Recommendations 2A2. And under Schedule B, Clause 27, again, under the ACG report, it refers to that 50-meter PEGWA setback, and again, we would like to delete that requirement. Going back to Schedule B now, Clause C4, it talks about that the developer shall at no expense to the city install land drainage, sewers, and stormwater retention facilities required to serve the planned area. No problem with that, absolutely. And adjacent lands. It's our understanding that adjacent lands is covered under Item 6, so I don't know why it's included under there. I don't know if it matters or not, but it was something that the engineer said we should bring up, so I'm bringing it up. That adjacent lands should be deleted there because it's covered under Clause 6. Under Clause 6, it talks about the developer paying the upfront costs for all of the regional land drainage system for the planned area. Absolutely no problem, obviously, with that. And for the area around, I think, as well, right? The regional land drainage system. No problem with that. The only question there is a payback period. The developer is getting on in years, and even if it was a 5-year payback, that still puts him well over 70 years old, and he's just looking for a reasonable payback period, not 30 years. So he's asking for 5 years.
On which item?
On Item 6, Clause C6 of Schedule B, under Regional Land Drainage System. Again, very similar related thing is for Ravelston Avenue, again for the same reasons. Schedule B, Clause 31, Ravelston Avenue, no problem paying everything up front, absolutely, that is what is expected. Again, he's just looking for a reasonable payback period. He's asking for 5 years, and just wondering if there's something that can be done in that respect. The big one is PEGWA Street, just as it was in the last meeting, and the developer has no problem again in paying upfront costs. It's just that with regards to PEGWA Street, there's a very strong feeling that this, although it's not identified at this point in time, in the old reports it was, but at this point in time it's not identified as an arterial road, but in the old reports it was considered a major arterial. it will, in fact, function as an arterial road because it will provide access to the entire planned area, the Transcona Area West Structure Plan. And for a lot of the other items that are related to this, like the intersection improvements at Peguis and Reindeers and those kinds of things, there is an area charge that is being considered for those. And we're just asking for the same consideration here, that this developer be responsible to pay for his portion of that charge, but the rest of the area, right from the CPR tracks into the north, to south of Almy, to Lajmurdi on the west, and to Peguis on the east, that everybody pay their share of the cost of that improvement. That's all he's asking. And again, that be within a reasonable payback period, if that can be done. I think I got that right. Yes, that's what we talked about. And then just for your consideration, just so that everybody's aware that the developer understands that he's got a lot more obligations over and above what's already in this ACG report, because eventually he will also have to pay his share under this area charge of the intersection improvements at Reindeers and Lajmurdière and Reindeers and Peguis. Like there's a lot of charges that are coming here. And then there's the question of the roundabouts, which we wanted to ask about as well. The roundabout at the Peguis and the entrance to this, it's not in the ACG report. And just wondering what the consideration is for that. Again, the developer has no problem with paying the upfront costs, but he only wants to be responsible for his share of that and then a reasonable payback for that is what he's looking for there. Did I get everything? I think I got everything. Yeah. Any questions, concerns with what is being proposed?
Is there anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, it's not more of a question, more, I guess, of a statement. Is I think the issues you raised in terms of the changes, to be blunt, I don't see a lot of change from our last meeting. The application looks exactly the same almost, except for the fact that the road is curved a little bit. But the issue with regards to transit and limited access to transit to the site is still an issue because we're not developing only one-third of the site, but the ultimate plan would be to develop the entire site, and having transit access to the entire site, I think, is definitely problematic. Issue one, which was the first thing you raised. Second one is the multiple family. I don't really see any change significantly in multiple family other than the fact you reduced the multiple family density. But you still persist on having the multiple family up against single family that has been there for years, which I think is problematic as well, especially since you accommodated in one area but not in another. The issue of the Aspen is new, and I think that's an issue. I was under the understanding that most of the growth was not high-quality growth in terms of the habitat, but if there is a section that is high quality in terms of the Aspen, then the Aspen, in my view, should be preserved. In today's day and age, I don't think we should be doing any kind of mowing down of Aspen because we can't change the lake. And disputing Peguis, I think is something which the Peguis obligations are there. This is not an arterial as the definition of the city. The city's been very clear about that, I think. And I'm disappointed that I think the major issue that I think I raised at the last meeting pertaining to this when we met on July 13th, and I still have all the notes from the residents when the residents spoke and when I spoke, and the major issue is going to be traffic patterns in the future and how traffic develops, and the issue in terms of the future connection of Reindeers not being touched on at all in your presentation, and the future situation with Almy Lajmurdière not being touched at all. And my sincere hope was that in the last 2 months that these issues could have been sorted out with the public service and with yourselves and with the residents, rather than coming here and not having still having these issues hanging. Since nothing has been resolved, I know everybody has registered here to speak, but I think we're going to be saying all the same things again, as was said last time, because nothing, as far as I'm concerned, has really significantly changed, even though there has been requests for change. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move that the receipt of public representation, that the Winnipeg Public Service report be taken as read.
Do you want to just check to see if anybody?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
in terms of what?
Public representations. If the committee wishes, they can ask, see if there's anybody else that wants to speak in support.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in support of this application?
We do have one other person registered in support, Mike Malik. Did you need to speak? Did you want to speak?
Sure. I don't have all the information that they have there, but
I'll just. Okay. If you could just state your name and address for the record, should we let him speak, or?
If he wants to speak.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to speak, sir, or just want to make that report to us?
Let me say a few words.
Okay. If you can state your name and address for the record, and Mr. Malik, please.
Mike Malik, 1325 Ravelston Avenue. I spoke to Susan. I guess there's a disagreement between the Councillor Wyatt and her.
I can hear you, sir.
There's a disagreement between the counselor and her presentation. She seems to think that most of these concerns, this being the fourth meeting already on this topic, have been addressed, and he doesn't agree with that. So there's really no point in. I'm not sure if he's going to what the next step is in this process. Is it going to be rejected?
We don't ask questions of the committee here, but if you want to state something, you can okay. state that, and we can ask questions back to you.
Anyway, I'll just say a few words. This area, I'll speak slowly, I just wrote it quickly. This area between Lagimodier, Alamy, Plessy, and the CPR main line, which includes the proposed development, is one of the worst examples of urban sprawl in Canada. This area between East Kildonan and Transcona should have been developed in the mid-70s. When development plans were made by the district planner, including streets and ponds, at least on the area north of Ravelston. Development in this area is long overdue. The city should have been preparing for this for development in this area over the last 40 years. Residents have known that this area was earmarked for residential development for the same number of years. This land is zoned for agriculture, which is its highest and best use, after which residential development will proceed according to Plan Winnipeg. The land on the north side of Ravelston has been seeded for crops since 1995, from Lagimodier all the way to Plessis. And that's when the weather allowed the farming to proceed. Some of it has been farmed since 1940s. The whole area from Lagimodier to Plessy was cultivated in October 2009. Many fields were not seeded in the spring of 2010 because of the weather. Farmers are optimistic and hope that 2011 will be better to allow at least enough revenue from the harvest to pay for the taxes. The land south of Ravelston, this area which they want to develop, has not had a crop on it for over 60 years, if ever. It is also zoned agriculture. On the first 110 feet is a ditch, which has stagnant water of various colors year-round. Does this affect the drinking water from the drilled wells? What is the condition of the septic fields in the area? The remaining back portion, because there's no cultivation, is covered with weeds, tall grass, and where there is no dirt and gravel fill is a swamp with reeds and bulrushes. This should all be cleaned up. And the proposed development is a start to do this. The next and best use of this land, since it is not used for agriculture, is development. A development is being proposed, but it appears to be rejected out of hand. Now, weather affecting the seeding, harvest, and cultivation can't be controlled. However, it does not help the deer and geese from properties on the south side of Ravelston cross over to the north side and damage the crops. These portions on the south side of Ravelston that make up the swamp and tall grass, along with the deer and geese, seem to be like a wildlife sanctuary. This wildlife sanctuary is unregistered, uncontrolled, and has a negative impact on agriculture. The residents on whose properties these deer and geese live, who allow the animals to pass on their property on the way to the north side of Ravelston, should have more consideration for those who want to maintain a crop. Some may be feeding these animals over the winter. No one has asked the city to relocate these animals. This should be all cleaned up, and the proposed development will begin to do that. And I've made some statements on traffic on Ravelston. I've biked and walked and driven on Ravelston for over 40 years. I don't see the traffic as hazardous as some people claim. I've never been driven off the street by reckless drivers. And besides, if the traffic problem is such a problem, as I said earlier, there's been no petition to even put a sign, a speed limit sign, at the beginning of Ravelston and Lagimodier. There's no load limit sign. No petition has been made to increase the shoulder of Ravelston to make it safer for pedestrians. No petition has been made for speed bumps to reduce the traffic. It seems that after the services were put along Alamy, that street is even narrower. And that, like I say, I've walked, I've never had any trouble, and it seems that even in the rush hours, the traffic is reasonable. And even when this development proceeds, most of the exit will be on Pegasus, which is paved, and not on Ravelstone, especially if the access to from Alamy to Lagimodier is closed. And, of course, Pegasus is paved, and there are no homes on Pegasus, so they shouldn't be concerned about the traffic. Also, it is not fair to saddle this request for a modest development with the requirements to fix all the traffic and other problems which have been ignored over the last 40 years before approval is given. Everyone knows that this area has been earmarked for development for the past 40 years, and development will cure a lot of problems that I mentioned earlier. So I've got a lot more to say, but really this is the fourth meeting on this issue, and surely the changes, I would have expected the changes and problems require modification to the Starlight development proposal should have been resolved by now, and the development allowed to proceed.
Okay. Thank you.
That's
Mr.
all I have to say.
Okay, Mr. Mello. Any questions for Mr. Mello?
No.
Hear none? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Step down. Is there anybody else who is not registered that wishes to speak in support of this application?
She's got to register.
Oh, we need you to register. Oh. Okay. You just want to register in support? Oh, you want to do the restroom. Yeah. Never mind. All right. Sorry. All right. Now, I think everybody has heard Councillor Wyatt's comments at this point. If you have anything new to add and you still want to come forward,
Chairman.
Yeah.
We've heard the I've heard the delegation, the applicant, mm-hmm. and we've heard the individual registered in support.
Yeah.
I'd like to move some motions this time.
Are we okay doing that procedurally?
Well, procedurally, I mean, people are allowed to speak at the public hearing, Mr. Chairman. If there are people that wish to speak in opposition.
Yeah. If I can tell the intent of the what I've seen so far. If somebody wishes still to speak, they can. But I am my intent, unless somebody can convince me otherwise, is to. Do you wish to speak?
Just very briefly.
Okay, because I'm not. I guess I haven't seen any changes to the application. Significant changes since we were here 2 months ago, and so anyway, if others still wish to speak, I'm not going to. Stop that from happening, but I think
we know the intention.
I think you know where I'm coming from, I guess.
Just 20 seconds on that clarification.
Can you come to the microphone?
Sure.
And are you in support, in opposition, or for information?
I am in opposition, 110%.
You got it right.
That was only 100 before.
20 seconds, Frank.
20 seconds. This is my property here. Right here. I've excluded from the plan. Right beside me, they're planning three beautiful tall buildings. right alongside my property.
That's the direction.
I just want to ask you one question. Does anybody here think that that's fair?
Oh, sir, everything, excuse me, order. Everything should be directed to the committee. We're not speaking to the...
My property here. These are the three buildings right adjacent to my property. I just want to know if people think that is a fair play.
Well,
the other thing is Mr. Malik alluded that he sees no safety problems in my street. He doesn't know that Mrs. Morelli was struck up by a car some 20 years ago into the ditch. And she ended up in the hospital. There was another child, which I will not name, that was also stricken and hit by a car on my street. So I'll just say those two points.
Very good.
And leave it.
Okay. Again, I think we know what Councillor Wyatt wants to do here, but is there anybody else that wishes to get up and speak in opposition here? Anybody else that needs to speak in opposition? Oh, what is your name, sir? Okay, if you'd come forward and state your name and address for the record, please. We're digitally recording it. It's a public hearing. It needs to be part of a public record. So,
you have to speak into the microphone.
You could sit down, please. Yeah.
Even though Mr. Ferrantino was speaking, I think the microphone picked him
up.
I think the microphone picked him up. Yeah.
Mr. Ferrantino isn't the only one with a map that he can read.
Okay. Sorry, could you state your name and address for the record, please?
I'm sorry. John Leckel, 399 Elmy.
Hey, go ahead.
I have an example of the street here, and it's perfectly clear to read it. Well, all this stuff up here, to me, is nothing but a pile of crap when I want to try to read it and understand it. And I would have thought that anybody having a group of this size would have a handout of some sort. I'm going to have to go ahead and give this one that's totally engineered, but some of them are actually childish that we received. And that's my beef.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Also, I like the way that Mr. Ferrantino at the last meeting stated his case and everything else. It was very heart-wrenching in some ways. And we tried to honor him with some clapping. And he was, the people that were doing it couldn't express the thanks that they wanted for it. And I think Mr. Barladi owes him a slight, at least if not a good, decent excuse for being that way.
Well, again,
pardon me.
Fair enough. Again, being a public
nice
hearing,
guy.
It's not a venue for applause, but if I offended you in any way, Mr. Ferrantino, I do apologize.
You offended me because I couldn't do it again.
All right. Well said. Thank you.
You
left one of your papers here. Is there anybody else who's registered in opposition that wishes to speak? Anybody else registered in opposition wishes to speak? Hear none. Now, there were a number of people registered for information. Anybody who's registered for information that wishes to speak? Anybody that registered for information that wishes to speak? As we did have people speak in opposition, we do have to extend the courtesy to the applicant if they wish to come forward to respond to the brief comments in opposition. No? Very good.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the Winnipeg Public Service Report be taken as read.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in and that this application not be approved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the reasons being that the significant issues outstanding. I agree that development is bound to happen in this neighborhood, but because of the fact that it's bounded by a long time existing residential area, you're not dealing just simply with vacant land and vacant farm fields. You're dealing with existing homes and existing neighborhood that's there, and it makes it difficult to do development, but it doesn't make it impossible. It just means that you have to take the time to sit down and talk to residents and to discuss the long-term issues that are affecting the community today that can be resolved. I agree that it's not necessarily fair that one application should have to try to solve a lot of the historic problems, but unfortunately that's the reality. We know that if an application goes forward and if we do not deal with the long-standing issues of transportation in this area, that it will only exacerbate the situation and it will get worse. It has to be addressed. I think I made my comments very clear at the last meeting in at the other location at Bronx. We had the community meeting. I know that there's been the two meetings we've attended, this is the only two meetings so far. There have been community meetings that have involved the community, but these are the meetings that where the decisions are made. And I was very specific upon hearing the delegations and knowing the neighborhood myself very well and the history of the neighborhood, that there were things that had to be addressed. I asked the applicant at the beginning, was there anything else you had to add that you missed in your application? There was nothing they had to add, so I take it that the issues that I feel are concerned are not were not addressed, and therefore I don't like opposing the application, but I feel that the applicant, if he wishes to proceed, needs to really rethink what he's doing and to come back to the drawing board and start from square one again. It doesn't mean it's impossible, but it just means that it's going to have to take a bit of time and to resolve some of these issues. The big issue, of course, is the need to connect Reindeers through to Peguis and to deal with that Elmy intersection. There was an assumption made that this will happen with this. That's not the case. It wasn't made very clear that the applicant was prepared to do anything along those lines, and that's what I was looking for today. And again, specifically the multiple family being located so close in proximity to existing residential, I think there's enough land there you can do some buffering, that you can start with single family, move up to multiple family. The issue with regards to transit, we're not only building a neighborhood for today, we're building a neighborhood for tomorrow. This is only one small piece of the entire development that will be happening on the west side of Peguis, between Peguis and Lajumodier. That entire area is going to have to be served by transit in the future. The road network does not allow for that in a proper way, in my view, based on where it's going. And you're going to have folks who are going to be well beyond the 400-meter minimum or maximum requirement by transit to be able to walk to a bus stop, quite a bit beyond that. So that's not acceptable. I appreciate the applicant's concerns regarding Peguis and the requirement to put the two lanes in Peguis, but it's been made clear over and over again by our public service that this is a collector street, not an arterial, and that this is the cost to open this area up. We cannot allow for gravel roads, and we're not going to allow a situation where we're going to have a two-lane road, which should really be four lanes in the future, and not properly servicing the entire area, because we know there's already through traffic there. There'll even be more through traffic, not to mention the new area as it grows. I think that I want to thank everybody for coming out again, and I wish we had a different resolution. A two-month layover. There was no meeting. Normally, it would be a one-month layover, but there was no meeting in August, which is standard for council. There's no August meetings. And so actually, by laying it over 1 month, it actually was technically laid over for 2 months. So there was more than enough time, in my view, to deal with these issues. I believe that if I were to lay it over again, which could be another option, that it would not resolve the situation, because we'd be laying it over again. Technically, there's no meeting in October because of the election. So it's another two-month layover to November. We didn't resolve in the last 2 months. I don't think we're going to resolve in the next 2 months. I really think the applicant, I think, has done a lot of good work in Winnipeg. He's not a fly-by-night operator. He's done development in Winnipeg. He's done development in existing residential areas in Winnipeg. He's credible. It's just, I think he has to revisit this and look at this again and start to address the issues that I have and what the community has. So with those comments, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move that the application be denied.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.